This is the new home for Cheryl Fritz, 1320 WILS, the only Lansing radio station live in Lansing every morning, live in Lansing every afternoon. Welcome to Fritz and Friends with your host, Cheryl Fritz.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, along with Scott Eckersley producing, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Republican Congressman Tim Walberg of Michigan. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I hope you are as well.
Well, I am. To say that the situation in Washington with the shutdown, government shutdown looming is fluid would be a massive understatement.
That's a massive understatement. You are absolutely right, and that's probably the best way to describe it.
I happened to be watching the news this morning, of course, when I heard Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid say that the impasse was over ideology, not numbers or funding, and things have changed dramatically since this morning.
Well, they have. I mean, we finally decided in the House that if that was going to be the message, then let's bump it up a little bit further. The closer you get to a deadline and the more you realize that the one side that has the most power at this point in time is willing to use some of that, it hopefully will clarify their position to say, wait a second, you know, do we want to be the party that is saddled with not simply shutting down government because we're unwilling to deal with the reality of what took place in November, with the election outcomes, as well as what you know, we hear from the people about cutting spending, but we're also are we willing to add to that the reality that we stop funding our military, right, wrong, or indifferent as far as what they are doing in the field in the eyes of people, but the fact that they are there and they deserve to be supported with their funds and their paychecks, and it'll be interesting to see what Harry Reid and what the president. Do in the next 24 hours or so in relationship to the House just passing that legislation that fully funded the military at the same levels as H.R. 1 we passed 7 weeks ago for the rest of the year and then put through $12 billion of cuts across the rest of the budget for a one-week period of time to allow us more opportunity to continue negotiating. But frankly, to say we've carried this on for 7 weeks already. It is time to get serious, so we're upping the ante a bit by putting a $12 billion cut, not simply a $2 billion cut per week in there.
Well, and their response will be, it is their turn to respond. I mean, the ball is now in their court with the House passing this stopgap budget bill. Do you have any idea what expectations there are from here? I mean, we sit and watch. I mean, you know, we have no idea. You're there. What do you think they're going to the next effort will be?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, the only thing we can go on is from history. Prior to the November election, we do know that regardless of what the people said, when there were 86% of the people at one time before the passage of Obamacare, saying no to Obamacare and yes to a true reform, the Senate and House Democrats ran roughshod over their constituents by passing it anyway under the cover of darkness. That may be the same opinion. They are having a hard time accepting what the voters said on November 3rd clearly repudiated many things that went on in the last Congress under the leadership of the Democrats who controlled the House. They controlled the Senate, and they controlled the White House. And so the people said, no, we don't want cap and trade. They've been trying up until today when the House passed a bill that will tell EPA, no, you can't implement cap and trade and energy tax increases without congressional approval. You can't do it just by rule. So that was passed today, and yet since November, the administration continued to support that and push that in spite of what the people said. So the only thing I can conclude is that there is a high likelihood that they are willing to shut down government, which includes not paying the salaries of our military who are in harm's way defending us and standing for the position that we've asked them to do. So I am a bit more pessimistic than I was this morning about the ultimate shutdown, but I'm also more optimistic as I hear reports from the people back in my district, the comments that say, hey, keep moving the direction you're moving. We understand that a shutdown will have some negative impacts, but frankly, until you get the attention of this administration and the Democrat leadership, that there's a new game in town at the very least, and that's the taxpayer saying, stop the spending. Don't destroy our future for our kids. It's not about the next election. It's about the next generation.
This stopgap measure, the White House has said, the president has said he will veto that. He declared that.
Well, I'm hoping, and that was said by Steny Hoyer earlier today, before we even had our votes, and I'm hoping it was simply one of the bluffs in the gunfight, hoping that that would say to the Republicans, don't try it, because I'm going to veto it. But frankly, I don't think that was the message, the outcome of that message will be what the president wants. I think it was basically saying, I'm unwilling to negotiate. I mean, we're talking, Cheryl, about a budget issue that in the context of a $14 trillion and growing debt, national debt, a $61 billion cut. Come on. Well, that's a rounding error.
Yeah, I was going to say the numbers are staggering to us who don't deal with numbers in the billions and trillions.
Right.
But it's all relative.
It's relative, but it's really a rounding error. When you think that this past February, a month ago, the deficit spending was over $221 billion for 1 month, $221 billion. And we're talking about arguing over a $61 billion cut for the next 7 months, $100 billion annualized. I mean, come on. We're talking of just a little more than one quarter of that 1 month deficit spending by this administration in February. So when you get a grasp of that, you say, why are we battling this when we need to fund our troops, when we ought to have the significant and supportable services for our taxpayers coming from the federal government employees? Why are we debating this just because of ideology about certain things? And frankly, I think it's time to get on, and I'm delighted that the speaker has stood firm. Negotiations are still going on. I think the Republicans have demonstrated by putting through the continuing resolution 7 weeks ago that fully funded for the rest of the 7 months of this year, with cuts, yes, but nonetheless fully funded the basic core operations of government, and then subsequently offered two more shorter-term funding resolutions, and now a third to say, we're willing to continue negotiating, we're willing to keep the government moving forward, but we are not willing to give up reducing spending and letting the taxpayer know that they were heard in November.
Well, and I have to tell you, I mean, there's not much bigger supporter of the military than myself. I think it's unconscionable.
I do too. And I was over with the military all across Africa, Turkey, Israel, and Germany about 5 weeks ago, and met with troops from Michigan, met with their leadership team, met with the command operations for our European command and our African command. And I mean, these are outstanding people, men and women that have primarily voluntarily put themselves in harm's way for a cause called freedom. And we countenance the fact, not simply giving them no certainty from week to week that they're going to be funded, but now we're barking up on about 24-hour time period here of shutting down government and not putting into, at the very least, into a budget a payment for them to continue paying them to the end of the year so that they have a certainty about that. I mean, that is just unconscionable. And I'm hoping against hope that over the course of this evening, the wee hours of the morning tomorrow, as we come back in the session at noon tomorrow, that ultimately cooler heads will prevail and they'll say, doggone it, Let's do that, and even if we continue fighting about the other things for a while.
Well, I would agree. So we either need to I apologize for that. need to come to a decision or continue with that stopgap bill to keep the military funded and work from there, because the pressure is on now. Everybody has to do their job in Washington now. The pressure's on.
It is, and it, you know, sometimes the best pressure produces the greatest diamond as well. And government operations generally is compared not to diamonds but the sausage. And yet there's some good sausage too. So I think this is an ideological battle. This is a battle based upon the outcome of an election where the people of the United States spoke, and as a representative of the 7th District, I think that it's my responsibility to represent that majority. And I've had call after call after call and text message and emails coming into me from a whole cross-section of people, whether it's an orthopedic surgeon or whether it's a nurse or whether it's a housewife in my office today on a family field trip. People are saying, listen, we know that there's going to be some tough decisions, and we may experience some pain because of the changes that are going to have to take place for a while, but we want our country back on track, and we're willing to accept cuts in spending, even to some of the programs that we like, in order that we can pass something on of value
to
our kids.
Very good, sir. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're up against a hard break. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Well, thanks for giving it to me. Appreciate
Thank you. Republican Congressman Tim Walberg in Washington will be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.